Well, it is the feast day of St. Luke. And Luke, as you have already heard, was a physician. Luke, in his designation as a person, was probably one of the 70 that were sent out early on. But he records himself as saying he wasn't firsthand a person who saw the full ministry of Jesus. So we have these differing viewpoints of what Luke saw. But when we read what Luke attests to, he's writing to his friend Theophilus, and he says, I want to be able to tell you that what you believe, Theophilus, is the truth. Nothing can take away from it, nothing can add to it, but it is the unbridled word of God. The word of God, clear as day. Luke was fascinated with the work of the Holy Spirit. If you look at the book of Luke and you look at the book of Acts, it is attributed to, both of them are attributed to Luke, and you find someone who is fascinated with something that's completely out of his scientific control. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, somebody who wants to be able to speak to the truth of the facts that they were seeing, but at the same time saying, I have no placeholder for this. Several things have happened in my life where I don't have a placeholder scientifically. You heard the other day about a car accident I once had where my foot was on the brake, and there was no reason why I didn't get brakes, because the brakes were working fine after the accident and before the accident. But I know that my foot was on the brake, and you know, the officer just said, no, you must have hit the accelerator, it couldn't have been the brake. Well, there was no evidence of acceleration either. So how do those things happen unless God is allowing or creating an opportunity for him to move? Another point in life where I drowned, I woke to find myself saying to the doctor, Doctor, do you have any way to explain the fact that I'm fine today? Where yesterday all my organs were shutting down and I was showing a body that was in shock that you couldn't fix? And he goes, no. I said, do you believe in miracles? He goes, no. I said, what do you call this? He goes, probably a miracle. We experience these things in life because we need to know that there's a hope that tethers us beyond the what we see with just our own physical eyes and hear with just our own physical ears. That we believe in a God that transcends the circumstances so that his will and his kingdom might be fulfilled. It is absolute strangeness to the rest of the world. It's bizarre to those who think from only a human perspective, because we attribute power and glory and majesty to this thing that is out there that we can't describe. But we know, because we've seen his footprints, his thumbprints all over our lives. We describe him because of what we experience in him. We describe him because of what Luke gave testimony to, of the power of God and the Holy Spirit, but lived out through a man that lived in his time, the truth of the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he could say to his friend of faith, Theophilus, what you say is true. We need to share that testimony with others. We need to be in a place where we can say the fullness of what we see. So when we hear the gospel lesson presented today, we hear Jesus returning in power to Galilee in chapter 4 of Luke's gospel, and he reported, and a report of him went throughout all the surrounding countryside. Word travels fast when that's the way that word travels, right? If you hear of something spectacular, you know, often it's on every news feed, it's on every Twitter feed. You can go out there into the social media atmosphere and find something pretty fast. It may or may not be the truth. It may be versions of the truth, but it is passed along pretty quickly. And in those days, word of mouth moved very quickly. Did you hear? Now, oftentimes you could say, well, that's like the telephone game where you say, you know, bananas are yellow and they taste like mush, and it could come out the other side My friend was mellow and he was a slush. You know, who knows what the outcome would be, but the truth of the matter is they were fascinated with this guy who came from Galilee, and here he was teaching in their synagogues and glorified by some. No, that's not Luke's testimony. He was glorified by all because he spoke with authority. He spoke with power. They could not figure out what he was plugged into. He came from Nazareth, after all. As was his custom, he went up to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he opened the scroll of Isaiah. And you know the words spoken from Isaiah so well. But in Isaiah's time, it was a hope for the future coming of the Messiah, the future of the one who would say, in his name, these things would happen. And as he opens the scroll, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me." How bold is that? It was read in the synagogues, but he specifically went to it in reference to himself and said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me and has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, recovering of sight to the blind, set liberty to those who are oppressed, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jubilee. Scripture spoke of a year almost like a 50th anniversary where you would be forgiven of all your human debt and you could start anew, a year of Jubilee. A friend of ours, a musician, wrote a song about Jubilee where he grew up in Mobile Bay, Alabama. And there's certain times in a cycle of years where the sea life is just lulled to the surface. And he grew up in the 60s, and he remembers sort of the McCarthy era, Mobile Bay time period where people were pretty rude to each other. There was a lot of division in the world. There was a lot of racism going on. And he remembers being a kid and his father waking him up and scooping up him up in his pajamas and saying, "Son, let's go. It's Jubilee." And the word on the street was, when Jubilee comes, when Jubilee happens, it doesn't matter what color your skin is, what politic you bring, but everyone will reap from the benefits of this outpouring. When the Messiah comes, everyone will reap from the benefits of this outpouring. And it's not something we wait for. It's already come, and we can operate it right now. And Luke knows that he has the power to use things that could help people to heal. But the one who is the healer, who brings things that we don't even have the ability to manipulate, is the one that you want to turn to. So today, when we hear of this fulfillment of the scripture, Jesus says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." I can't imagine how stunned and perplexed that they were to be able to sit back and say, wait a second. What is the good news? The poor are still poor. What is the good news to prisoners? They're still captive. What is for those who are blind? Because there are many who still are blind. There's no salve or no prayer or no thing that can fix them. How is it that this is going to happen? Well, most of us live in this tug of war of the already and the not yet, right? We know that we live in a body where we can proclaim the power of the scriptures and say, by his stripes, by the sacrifice of Jesus, we are healed. It's not a past tense or a future tense. It is right now. By his stripes, we are healed. But what if we're not healed yet? Literally. What if we still struggle? What if you still have a hole in your leg? I could show you mine, but I'm sure you wouldn't want to eat lunch. It's almost gone, but it's not gone yet. And I struggle with, you know, wanting that healing just to be, boom, instantaneous. But I know what it's like to have his instantaneous presence. I know what it's like to feel the glory of God over my body, saving me from the depths of water in the Chattooga River in West Virginia. I know what it's like to watch as people go through trial after trial after trial after trial, trying to have a child and having multiple miscarriages at 8 and 9 months, and still yet finding the ability to come step forward and say, the Lord's still calling us to have children. And they did. The scriptures are not a pie in the sky motto. It's not a quick Hallmark card. It speaks to us of the struggle, the temptations that we have, the difficulty that it is that we want to hear the soft word. In Paul's word to Timothy, he says, be ready, preach the word. The word is not lacking in any way, but it ain't easy. It comes with difficulty. It comes with the sense that we have to step into the sacrifices of Christ in order to recognize that this word that we receive from the Lord is one that really needs to straighten out the world that we live in. So what does he say to Timothy? He says, rebuke, reprove, exhort, but have patience. Have patience, because we're all human. Don't be like those people who want the teaching, who, you know, they say nice things for nice people, that we can all be encouraged, but people don't have anything solid to hang on to, anything changed in their lives. They sort of live from happy to the next happy, the next encouragement. We can come to church and we can say whether we like the preacher or don't like the preacher, whether we're bored or not bored. I hope you're not bored yet. And Paul says, listen, my time is short. It's so funny when you read this passage and you think of what he's saying to Timothy. He's sort of getting out his last wishes before he ends being on this earth. And he knows that he's being poured out as a drink offering, and it's time for his departure. And he's fought the good fight, and he's finished the race, and he's kept the faith. So you do it too. Because it reaps a reward, a benefit, a fruit that is so much greater lasting than anything that you can buy in the grocery store. That stuff rots or is eaten by bugs. Your faith will outlast anything that you can purchase or lay up. Instead, I have laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, and he will reward me on that day. And not only to me, but also to those who have loved his appearing. And then he goes on to give him his laundry list. Oh, and don't forget to bring my underwear and socks. I mean, that's the way it sounds. Luke, he says, do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with his present world, has deserted me to Thessalonica, and Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with me. He's very useful like socks. Tychicus is, I have sent to Ephesus. So when you come back, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus and Trous, also the books, and above all, the parchments. What for? He's dying. Why does he need a cloak? Why does he need some books? Why does he need some parchments? Because the very thing that he speaks of in the beginning of this is, I am not just speaking well to deposit in you, but I am about to hand all that I have over to you as a ministry to continue what I've begun. There's an anointing, a passing of the torch that goes on in every era, in every church, in every generation, I should say. That has to happen, and you can fail at that, or you can really make sure that you intentionally make the time. And St. Luke's, I know that there's been a deposit that you've made in this community. I know how many lives have been completely transformed and changed. We heard one today, and it's not all St. Luke's, but a part of the flow of the river of St. Luke's. We hear of people's lives, for good or for bad, for rich or for poor, in sickness and in health. It's a marriage, and we're a family. God's not done with us yet. And so we hear these words of encouragement from the scripture, and I had something totally else in mind for today, but the Lord's got other plans. And I hear him say to you and I, we can go with the natural. On the day that we celebrate the feast of St. Luke, the namesake of our church, we celebrate a man who recognized that there was something more than just the physical things. Scripture says, honor your physician, right? We heard it today. Ecclesiasticus is an apocryphal book, but it is one that is recognized as helpful for us to be able to hear from what this writer is encouraging us to do in the Lord. Honor physicians. They will be rewarded by their king. They understand the natural, and we're to recognize that they use sensible means to make people healthy. And he gives an analogy in here is water is made sweet by the tree, and we think, how's water made sweet by the tree? But just think about it. Do you pour water on your waffles in the morning? No, you put more maple syrup on it, right? Out of the tree come saps and salves and all sorts of things. Various trees of various kinds get worked into medicines that have changed people's lives because they have the natural components that will heal and will dissolve the work of a disease or a skin rash or whatever. So we know that what goes into the tree, the water that goes into the tree, comes out of the tree in such a way that it creates something that is much sweeter, like maple syrup. He says, give up your faults and direct your hands rightly and cleanse your heart from all sin. We're making a shift from the natural to the spiritual. Because they go hand in hand, don't they? If we want to be healed, if we want to be walking in the fruit and the light and the healing of God, then we have to let those things in the natural be met by the supernatural so that they can go beyond. We've got to get ourselves right with God by offering something of an outpouring so that we know that we have placed ourselves not only in front of the natural of physicians, but in front of the supernatural of our Lord for his healing and his desire in his time. What's the medicine that we get in the Word today? Praise. The ways for you and I to step forward in the midst of a time where we're facing a trial. We heard about young mothers and we're encouraged to help them. We heard about cancer victims who are facing, who knows what's around the corner, whether or not there will be a cure or a medicine or whether or not this round of chemo or radiation is going to work. But we know that we believe in a God for no matter how many days he gives us left, we have a calling, a purpose, and a power. Do we want to live unplugged and sort of meander along? Or do we want to walk in the power of God so that we can recognize that there's something more? There's a hope beyond just the natural. So the psalmist says to us in Psalm 147 today, great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. And you can go on, and there are hundreds of psalms that will express the glory of God and how we would praise him. And yet, they might be just lip service, the lip service of a poet, if there wasn't power behind it. I heard this story told once, if you could imagine with me, two glasses of water up here and two packets of Alka-Seltzer. I can open the packet of Alka-Seltzer and plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. We know that the chemicals in that is going to calm our stomach down and help flush out of our system the very things that we're fighting against. If I took the other packet of Alka-Seltzer and just dropped it into the cup, why doesn't it do the same thing? Because you have to take it out of the package. It doesn't have the chemical reaction that's necessary for it to bring about the, the nutrients and the substance that is going to make a change in our lives. The same way is with the Holy Spirit. We love to speak of God the Father, and He does His work, and He works over us and at a distance, and He's taught us how to do things like our earthly father has taught us how to do things or not. We don't know, for everybody's sake. We love to talk about Jesus and His miracles and the power that He has. But when it comes to that personal place where we ask for God to dwell in us through the power of His Holy Spirit, well, the pastor did that when we were baptized. But man, it's kind of scary if you want to invite Him into my bedroom, into my closet, into my garage, into the basement, into the places of my spiritual realm that need cleaning up. The only place for those things to be cleaned up is the place of God's power through His Holy Spirit to transform things. Otherwise, we're just, you know, moving deck chairs on the Titanic, right? We're making it look pretty, but it's not going to change anything. We have to open up that package and pour it out and watch its power at work. The Holy Spirit is there for the asking if we're willing to ask for His infilling. Charles Finney wrote how God gave him mighty infillings of the Holy Spirit that went through me, he says. As it seemed, body and soul, I immediately found myself endued with such power from on high that a few words dropped here and there to individuals were the means of their immediate conversion. My words seemed to fasten like barbed arrows in the souls of men. They cut like a sword. They broke the heart like a hammer. Multitudes can attest to this. Sometimes I would find myself in a great measure empty of its power. I would go to a visit. I would find that I made no saving impression. I would exhort and pray with the same results. I would set apart a day for private fasting and prayer, and after humbling myself and crying out for help, the power would return to me with all its freshness. This has been the experience of my life. Finney and so many others would say, I don't want anything but the power of God. I don't want to be lackluster anymore. I don't want ordinary anymore. And yet we get overcome with fear, doubt, and unbelief because of the sadness or the worries or what we would say is the discontent of the world. We believe that someone wants our resume to look better or our outward appearance to show like more professional or more presidential. I was told once that I don't present myself presidential enough to be the rector of thus and such a church. And I want to go, what is that? I have been called here. I've been empowered. I've been gifted to do this job, and I'm going to do it the very best I can. And the very best I can is to be your pastor, not to be a resume, not to be a plaque on the wall, not to be a list of credentials. And in the midst of that, I humbly get on my knees and pray, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, because I don't want to do this without you. And that's my encouragement to you today. Ask Him to fill you. Ask Him to give you the kind of strength that doesn't settle for the natural, but wants to live in the supernatural. So normal, like I will sing songs and do things, and people will go, aren't you just fired up? That's such a great song. I love how the Holy Spirit moved this morning. And typically, I hate to say this, but I'm like, yeah, isn't that cool? Like, that's just me. I expect the Lord to show up. I want Him to show up. I get excited. Sometimes I do shout, and like I am right now, get pumped up. But the fact of the matter is I expect the Lord to come because He's promised He would. He's promised He'd pour out gifts. He promised He'd help us. Now, I want to say there are always along the way, it's Pastor Appreciation Day, and I want to say to you, one thing that Andrew and I can attest to is this is a family that honors its pastors. You honor authority. And I know authority can go awry. I know we're not perfect. I know that we are broken and fallen individuals. But There is one thing that will destroy a church, and the enemy knows it. And that is to allow a spirit of offense to fall. When a spirit of offense falls, and people will start to have these conversations like, hey, did you see that this is going on? Or, hey, did you see? I mean, we have things that we would like to see differently, but we should be adult children of God's family. Let's go to the pastor and say, you know what? I'm struggling with this. And maybe you haven't heard this from anybody else, but I don't think it's in line with what I read in Scripture or what I think you should do. I had a bishop's wife say to me, you know what? I don't like you saying that phrase anymore. And it was a phrase that I just sort of flippantly cast out there. It was a Far Side cartoon. And the Far Side cartoon was this guy, you know, this deer leaning up against the tree smoking a cigarette. And the deer had a target painted on him. And the two deer across the way look at each other and go, bummer of a birthmark, Hal. And I just jokingly said that. I flipped it out there because I think it's funny and it's relational and whatever. And she goes, those are not words that you need to allow to be spoken over you. She was right. I am not going to accept that the enemy has made me a target because the Son of God loves me enough to fill me, not shoot me. And so I don't have to pay attention to those silly darts that aren't going to hit me because he's given me the armor of God to cover my life. And he's given it to you as well. So today, I want to encourage you. I want you to say yes. Would you stand with me right now and just say yes? In whatever form you like, put your palms out and say, come, Holy Spirit, fill my life. Give me the gifts that you have so that I might not live in the ordinary, but live in the extraordinary. That I might not settle for false power, but be filled with power from on high for your purposes. Not so that I can put on a show or just so that I might get used to the fact that you are miraculous at every moment of my life. So we pray, come Holy Spirit. Cast out any spirit of offense in our midst. Help us to be unified in you, Jesus. That the purposes for which you've called this ragtag group of disciples together would be carried out because we love you, we honor your authority, we honor the leaders who you've given us to lead us into this calling that you have, and we bless you and live to bless you. So give us every gift that you can, Lord, because it's not easy. And the journey is long. But it's worth every second that we can see your power at work. We bless you, Lord. We receive your Spirit, and we ask that you would help us to wield these gifts for the sake of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.